Good morning and welcome to the Heart of Christ Church. For all you folks out there joining us on the internet through Facebook or YouTube or Rumble, we are there for you and we are here for you, I should say. And we are so glad that you are with us this day. As we come before the Lord in this day, we know that God is good and all the time. And we also know that God has called the church to love Him, love others, and go through His Son, our Savior, Jesus the Christ. And that's what we're doing. We are going to be going in all things in His authority. And this week, I'm looking at the second installment of this as a Christian in the world. Last week, we looked at going in all things in His authority in your personal life. And we came to the conclusion that God does not need our ability. He wants our availability. That overflows directly into our life, in our community, and into our world. God knows what you can do, but God wants to use you in ways that are far greater than yourself. And that happens as we come in His authority, not ours. Because authority equals power, and God's authority and God's power are limitless. And I want you to understand that in that you have a blessing that is beyond compare. And the evil one does not want you to live in that. He does not want you to live in the authority that you have. He has lied to us since birth. He is continuing to try to defeat the church. How many of you out there right now, how many of you out there on internet land are disillusioned, discouraged, downhearted because of the way you see our world, the things that are happening? How many of you like opening your electric bill? How many of you like going to the grocery store and paying 40% more for groceries? How many of you like going to the gas pump? It's not a fun place right now, and that's just small things. If we look at what is happening worldwide, oh my gracious, there are atrocities happening throughout our world. And it can get downhearting, but we know these things are going to come, and we have a hope that goes beyond all these things, and that hope is our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Today, I want us to begin looking at our community and how we are to live our lives out there in our world. I want you to turn to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. And as soon as I get there, we're going to begin in the fourth verse, and we're going to go through 15. Okay? We're going to begin in the fourth verse, and we're going to go through 15. I say this so that no one will delude you with persuasive argument. For even though I am absent in body, nevertheless I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good discipline and the stability of your faith in Christ. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. Having been firmly rooted and now being built up in Him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. For in Him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. Now, I'm going to hold there for a second, Brother Ryan, and for all of you here. As we open our minds, open our hearts to the Scripture here, Paul is talking to the community at large. He has taken his context from the personal into the corporate, into the community. It's understanding that we have to begin to walk in His authority in our personhood as we are gaining our faith, as we are growing. And that's what I spoke of last week. But now, as we move to what does it look like to go out into the community, we need to remember what he says here. He does not want us to be persuaded, okay, or diluted with persuasive argument. There are going to be people out there who are going to tell you all kinds of things. We all hear it, don't we? And the stuff is going to keep coming at us, and it comes at us from many different arenas. But we need to understand the Word of God endureth forever. Okay? Jesus says the earth will pass away before His Word passes away. Now, I want to ask you a question. Does the Bible teach us that the earth is going to pass away? The form of the earth will pass away, but the earth will never pass away. We need to remember, God destroyed the face of the earth already once. He's going to do it a second time, and then he's going to do it a third time. But earth remains. Why? Because it's our dwelling place. We need to understand that. I love the theology in that, because God changes it three times. Until the third time it is completely purged. And that is when? After the millennium. But the earth remains. It never goes away. So what does that tell you about His Word, Miss Eva? It lasts a little bit longer, wouldn't you think? And that's what we need to remember. Though Satan can come against us, and the powers and principalities are going to come against us, and it's going to look like people. Each and every one of us, I got back up, my head's off the screen. I got to watch how close I get to that thing. I walk up here and all they see is from here down. When we are out there in the world, we need to remember, evil does not have a face. Okay? I've never seen the face of evil. I have seen evil. But when I look upon a person who's doing something evil, I need to remember, that person is me prior to Christ. Does that make sense? Because that's what I was. Evil happens in and through us because there are powers and principalities in this world that attack each and every one of us. They will use good people. How many of you know good people that have done dumb things? Yeah. How many of you are good people that have done dumb things? Now you got my point. When I say stuff like that, we look out. No, there are times we need to look in, okay? I just passed a church out here on my way out, just outside my driveway, and it says, Living Christ Inside Out. I love that. How many of us need to take what's in here and get it out? We know Christ. It needs to come out. And that's what Paul's telling us here. Don't let this stuff come in on you. Live your life of Christ out into the world. And we are to see to it that no one takes us captive through philosophy and empty deception according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world. You know, there was a time in life when each of us thought that this was the way things were supposed to be. And then all of a sudden we grew up and we began to walk in Jesus Christ, and that was is no more. Because it's not about self or self-indulgence, but it is about living as Christ and living for Christ in our world and remembering the good that He has given us and the hope that He brings through the gospel that He has proclaimed through His very life. For in Him the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. Jesus Christ is perfectly God in human form. He lived His human life in such a way that you and I need to live our human life. Jesus did miracles, didn't He? How many of you would love to be able to do a miracle? I mean, just have God use you to do some kind of miracle. I see one back here smiling, nodding her head. Yeah, that would be so cool. Well, why can't He? Because we won't let Him. We need to remember, when Jesus was here, when He walked the earth, He did not walk in the power of His deity. He left that power in heaven with the Father. He walked as you and I. What empowered him? Who empowered him while he was here among all peoples? The same one who empowers you and I, the Holy Spirit. Every miracle Jesus did, when he walked on that water out onto the lake and Peter was scared to death, and then he said, "Oh Lord, if it's you, call me and I'll come to you." Peter got up and started walking on the water. How many of you would like to walk on the water? Wouldn't that be an awesome thing? You know, I've done it once or twice in my life, but the water was frozen, so I don't know if that counts. But it's amazing because we have that same power available to us as Christ had available to him. And if we are truly walking in his authority, God is going to lead us to things that are supernatural, externally powerful, beyond anything we could think or dream. But we have to live that way. We have to believe that. How many of you believe God can use you to perform a miracle? I think that's wonderful. But I need to ask you a question. Why isn't he? Well, the reality is, he is. He is. And that's what I want to talk about today. Because he is using you in the lives of people, because every time a person comes to the place of eternity, receiving the Lord Jesus Christ, that's a miracle, people. Because we are pervasively evil from birth. And we need to understand that and know that. And actually accept the fact that God is using you to touch the lives of every person around you. Don't let the world sway you. And that's what the rest of this reading talks about. Let's read on from verse 9. It says, "And in him you have been made complete, and he is head over all rule and authority. And in him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands in the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us, and has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. When he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him." What's he talking about there? He's talking about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, isn't he? That's what we need to be preaching to the world, and that's what I'm talking about. How many of us have been set free from our sins because we know the Savior? We know his sacrifice. And that's what we need to be speaking to the world. That's what I'm talking about when I made that last statement. When we are living our lives and all we're doing is complaining about everything, are we walking in the crucifixion of Jesus Christ? Absolutely not. But when we are walking in the world and we are seeing these things, but in them we still have the hope of glory, that we can make it through these things, we can do this stuff and get by with a smile on our face and joy in our hearts. You know, Miss Jen says it all the time, and we need to hear Miss Jen. "I'll not let him steal my joy." And we've got to hold on to it. But you see, Satan knows feelings are fleeting. And if he can make you feel discouraged, that outweighs joy every time. Wrong chicken. Because the life Christ gave us is not a feeling, it's a reality, it is the truth, it is eternal. We need to start living as spiritual beings in a physical world, knowing that Satan cannot take away Calvary. Satan cannot take away the Garden of Gethsemane. Satan cannot take away the Mount of Ascension. I got goosebumps a mile high on me right now. We need to stop living like we're of this world. We are no longer worldly. We are otherworldly, for our hearts, our minds, our souls are Christ Jesus. That which is eternal in us is now once again one with the Father. We are communing with Him. We are one with the Trinity. And in that, our life cannot be taken away. I don't care what the world throws at you. I don't care who's trying to tell you what. When you know that God's Word says no, it means no. Not maybe, not might. We have to live our lives in such a way that when people look on us, they know the uncompromising reality of our faith. And you out there on the internet, I want you to think about this. Because Satan is doing, and I'm going to point this out. Yes, I love the fact that you're here on the internet with us. But Satan loves the fact that you're at home by yourselves. Now, if you're there because of health reasons and not being able to get out, praise God, I'm glad you're here. But if you're able to be in this community of faith, you need to be in this community of faith. You need to be in this community. Why? Because iron sharpens iron. I'll tell you right now, we just had a whole group of guys go up to my camp, and we sat around, we talked, we hunted together. We had a wonderful time. Do you think that bonds were not made? Do you think that the swords weren't sharpened while we were there? Do you think that Satan did not see a working of the Holy Spirit that he couldn't touch? Yes, you better believe it. When you ladies went to the mountains, how strong was the bond? And it continues when we come home. It continues when we come home. And every week we need to get together. Why? How many of you have a knife drawer at home? All of us do, right? And we pull that thing open and we shove it shut and we pull it open and we shove it shut. And what happens to those knives in that drawer? You know, it says iron sharpens iron. Why don't my knives get sharper when they're in the drawer slamming around on one another? Because it has to be purposeful. We have to take another piece of steel, which is designed to sharpen, and lay it against it. That steel that I am talking about is this thing right here. And it's not only this, but it is this coupled with your faith, coming together with others and their faith, and we lay those things out, and we are literally sharpening our faith. If you are just a knife in the drawer, getting myself off balance here. If you are just a knife in a drawer being slammed around, how many of us get slammed around by life? It just makes you dull. How many of us become indifferent because it's just like it keeps droning on? It doesn't stop. When does it stop? My great-grandpa used to tell me it doesn't stop until they put 6 feet of dirt in your face. I got news for him. It don't stop there, Paul. Because if you're in Christ Jesus, you're going on to eternity. And I'll guarantee you there's going to be some sharp knives in that drawer. But we got to wait until after the marriage supper to come back to be used at that point. But while we're here, we need the ecclesia to sharpen our lives, to keep us ready in the Word, in season and out of season. Amen? And that's where we need to be. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy. Because, man, the world wants to come against us, but God has something else for us, and He wants us to understand that. 2 Timothy, verses 1 through 5. 2 Timothy, chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. This is Paul speaking to Timothy. And he says unto him, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth, and will turn aside to myths. But you, be sober in all things, enduring hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. We know that each of us is a priest of God. We are a royal priesthood. Each of us is a minister of the gospel in our own lives. Unto our friends, our families, we are the salt and light of the world. And as we are living our Christian faith out there in the world, yes, there are going to be times. I like what it says here. I really like what it says here. It says here to us that we are to be ready in season and out of season to reprove, rebuke, exhort. Do you see that? Reprove, rebuke, and exhort. Two times it's a negative. One time it's a positive. Do you catch that meaning? There are going to be times we need to point out the evil. The evil, the people who are doing things that are wrong, don't even know they're doing things that are wrong, okay? That's reprove. When we're reproving someone, they're ignorant of what they're doing. When we rebuke someone, they know what they should be doing, amen? And that's a rebuke. When we come against a person, that's talking about somebody who's in Christ or knows Christ, okay? There are many we're going to reprove, and our lives need to be reproving, but they also need to be exhorting. How many of you love nasty Christians, where all they do is complain about everybody else and everything else, and nothing is right and nobody's good except them? You know, there's a verse in the scripture that talks about those people, because it says they will come unto me and say, Lord, Lord, look what I did in your name, and I will say unto them, away from me, for I never knew you. Wow, that's pretty strong, isn't it? But that's a truth that we all have to live by. So we need to remember, as grace was extended to us, so too must we extend grace. Does God reprove us? Oh, my heavens, God reproves me all the time. Yeah, well, you're the pastor. I mean, what do you mean? Hey, he not only reproves, yeah, blah. Need to look that word up here again. Reproves me, but he also rebukes me. Just because I'm a Christian doesn't mean I'm perfect. Can I get an amen? And we need to reprove and rebuke one another. But then we need to exhort. We need to remember there's three phases here. And that's what we need to be in this world. Oh, but I don't want anybody to be upset with me. Would you get over it? It's not about feelings. It's about eternity. People are going to hell. People are going to hell. That's a real place. And it's eternal. I don't want anybody there. I've told you all I want to live to 120, and I really do. Do I know we're going to get there? Absolutely not. I will never see 120. Look at where our world is. Do we think we're going to get there? That's 60 years from 2 weeks or 3 weeks from now. No, we're not going to be around. And when I say we, I mean every we. I think the Lord's going to come before that happens. And if he doesn't, wow, what would this world look like? I mean, I look at where it is now. Can it change? Yes, it can. Yes, it can. But that means God's people, the church, needs to actually begin working in the community like we're supposed to work. We are to be that reality in the world, that salt and that light. And it's not going to always be comfortable, but we're told in the book of Ephesians that we are to put on the full armor of God, amen? Because then we'll be able to stand against the devil and his schemes. We should not fear anything. This world should not be something we fear. Our lives are meant to be lived in such a way that as salt and light, those who are living in darkness will see their error. And those whose life has absolutely no flavor, you know, those who are not finding hope, we can give them hope. That's what it means to be salt. How many of you know that when you eat green beans without salt, they taste like cardboard? Right? You know, I think it's funny because I pick green beans out of my garden and I eat them. They're wonderful raw. But as soon as you cook them, it's like, what did we do to it? Or when you're in the hospital, this is where I really noticed it. When I'm in the hospital and they give you one of those salt-free diets, I think they take the flavor out of the food too. I don't know how they do that. But that's what our world does. It takes the flavor out of life. And we are to put that flavor back in, that flavor of hope, that flavor of joy. Jesus says they will have life and have it abundantly. You know, our guys just came home from the mountains. How many of you would be willing to go back again and do that over? Yeah, amen. Ryan said he was so tired he had to take a day and just recuperate. You know, life is meant to be played hard, amen? And enjoyed. But so many people in this world aren't even playing. They're just making it day by day, and it's hard, and it's a drudgery, and there's no hope, and it doesn't end. We know it ends, and we're going to speak the glory to God because we know the hope that we have no matter what this world brings. I can still look outside and see the beautiful fall leaves and praise God for it. I can look outside when it's raining and I can't go out and I can't do anything else, and I can still praise God because He's watering the planet and allowing life to continue. I can be in the midst of one of my dear friends having cancer, and I can look at life and say, it is good. Because it is appointed unto man to die once and then the judgment. And in Jesus Christ, if that so be it, you're standing in glory. There's nothing better. Yes, it hurts for us to go through it, but I'm going to tell you right now, the victory on the other side outweighs one moment in glory, outweighs an entire lifetime here on earth. And that's what we're pressing on towards. And we need to be that in this world, that others see that in us and wonder, why is that person so happy? Do you ever get people mad at you because you're happy all the time? Oh, that happens to me a lot. What are you smiling for? My dad used to say that to me. Everything's got to be fun to you. Well, yeah, it ain't worth doing if it's not. No, I'm good. I think I have one. Oh, no, I don't, Miss Jen. Yes, I do. I have two here. Thank you. That's my nurse keeping an eye on me. And as we remember the truth that we are to be that double-edged sword, turn in your Bibles. This is my last scripture today. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. We're in verses 12 through 16. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 through 16. From verse 12, in the fourth chapter of the book of Hebrews, we read these words. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight. But all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. We need to understand that the double-edged sword that has been given to us is the power to conquer strongholds, to take down those strongholds, to take down demonic powers and principalities in people's lives, in our lives, and in the world. And we need to yield that sword in a worthy manner in our lives, for ourselves in and against ourselves, because the greatest fight we're ever going to fight is the fight of our own salvation, okay? You and I struggle with, you know, that inner being at all times. I love it because I have several of you have said to me, you know, that old guy, that old man, he's right under the skin. And the only thing that keeps him down is the fact of prayer, is the fact of fasting, is the fact of reading the Word. Because if I don't do those things, he comes creeping up. And it's so amazing because that is the truth. I had a pastor friend who told a story about two dogs. And he said each person's life is like two dogs. The first barks all the time and is incessantly in trouble. And the other one is completely obedient, submissive, and always at your side. Which one do we pay the most attention to? Generally, it's the one that's barking all the time and constantly in trouble, right? But the reality is we need to pay attention to this one that's submissive, this one that is here always. Because this is the one that will get us through. That other one, he said, it's amazing. Because how do we keep a dog from barking? We feed it. And we feed it, and we feed it, and it grows, and it grows. And before too long, this little submissive one gets smaller and smaller because we keep forgetting to feed it until the point where it finally disappears. And all we have is that loud, noisy dog. How many of us know people in our lives who all they have is that loud, noisy dog? We need to help those people. We need to help them nurture the peace of God, the understanding of God, the compassion of God. Because many don't know it. Many are mad at God because the evil one continually nipping at them and going at them and telling them lies that, you know, God doesn't love you. God has forsaken you. God is nowhere around. God doesn't exist. And how did he speak to Elijah? Yeah. The God of the universe in a still, small voice. He comes gently. So we need to watch just how we reprove and how we rebuke, but we need to be gracious in our exhortation. Because is not God gracious in his exhortation unto us? Yes, it's called the cross of Calvary. The love of God covers a multitude of sins. Amen and amen. And we need to be that truth in the lives of the community that we live. As Christians, we can never give up the gospel. We can never compromise the gospel on any point. We must reprove. We must rebuke. But we must also come in the grace that has been afforded to us. And that grace is our salvation. That grace is the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. You and I did nothing to gain it. He gave it all. And then he gave it to us. If we would but receive. Is that not what we read today? Yeah. And that's where we need to walk. That's where we need to be. I encourage each and every one of you, learn the principles well. Go in his authority into this world. Go in his authority in your own life, not by your ability, but by your availability to God. And God will speak to you. God will move you into the places where he wants you to be. And I'm going to tell you right now, that doesn't mean you have to go to Africa. Some people, you know, God uses them as missionaries and they go out. But your field of ministry is right where you are now. For us here in this auditorium, it is the greater Lebanon area. Okay? reaching out as far as we live. I mean, we've got people here from Lititz. We've got folks here from Bethel. You know, we've got folks here from what's the name of the town down there? Hamburg, okay? And, you know, it amazes me how wide our span is for those who come to church. And then we reach out through the internet to places. We reach out to China. We reach out to Belgium. We reach out to Australia, New Zealand. We have folks watching us from, I forget how many continents. I'd have to ask Brother Ryan, and he probably doesn't remember until we get the reports every month. So are we reaching the world? Yes, we are. And that's what you need to do. I need to do in our daily lives. But we have to reach it first. Can I get an amen? We have to walk in that authority in our own lives first. Not our ability, His authority. And when we submit to that authority, the good of God will come forward. And life is worth the living. How many of you want a happy life? You know, the old saying is, happy wife, happy life. Right, guys? Okay. I'm going to take that one step further because the two shall become one, right? So it's my wife and I with the Lord. Happy Lord, happy life. Because that's the truth of it. Happy Lord, happy. Because if God is truly the Lord of my life, my wife's going to be happy. Amen? Guys, we got to get it right. Don't make it about your ability. Make it about your availability to the Lord. He'll use you and you will have a happy life. So you ladies out there, you can take that home and tell your husbands all that, okay? Get them in church. But today, I want us to take this word forward. You are the salt and the light. We are bringing forth the word which is sharper than any double-edged sword, dividing everything unto its truth. That's what that word is telling us there. That we can, and I don't have to do it with arbitrary ignorance, and by that I mean being so detrimental to someone that you hurt them, but being loving and making them aware. You know, that's one of the greatest ways to reprove or rebuke someone. Because if you go at somebody and say, well, you are doing this. But if you go to somebody and you say, are you aware? When you make it the form of a question rather than an accusation, does it go further? Yeah, it does. Because a question makes you examine. I want you to remember, when David messed up, and David messed up, we all know it. I'm talking with Bathsheba and Uriah. Nathanael came to him, and he didn't accuse David. What did he do? He told him a story, and David became indignant. How dare someone take the only lamb of that shepherd? I'll come against him. And Nathan said, O king, it was you. And David was rent asunder. We need to remember, Jesus Christ didn't come after you with a vengeance. He didn't beat you with his cross. He simply laid it bare for you. What do I mean by that? He's no longer on it. He's in heaven. And he lays the cross bare. I did this for you. Now you lay on it. And we don't have to lay there long. Because it's just a moment. And we're healed. He does not nail us to the cross to stay. He simply asks us to look upon it and receive it as our own. And that's all we're asking the world. Look upon the cross. Receive it as your own. And Christ will set you free. That's my word for you this day, in your own life and in the life that we are to live into this world. Go in His authority. We don't have the authority to take away sin. We don't have the authority to strip out evil. but Jesus Christ does. And he's given it to you from Matthew. He says, go ye therefore into all the world. Go, love God, and love others. Would you pray with me this day? Father God, we thank you that we can go with an authority that will bring hope, that will change lives, for you have changed our lives, and you are yet changing our lives. And we pray, Father, that you would allow us to walk with our brothers and sisters as they receive that truth, that they too would understand, grow, and know the change that you bring, the change, the hope of eternity, the glory of your presence, the compassion and mercies of your understanding. For Lord God, you know we are fallen, we are broken, and we are going to struggle in this world, but you're here to help us through. For you have said you will never leave us nor forsake us. So be it now, so be it always, in the name of Jesus, who is the Christ. And the church says, and amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA, 17083.